Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Connect the Knox. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Julia Hurley, connecting Knoxville to the nation. Today's guest is one of my all-time favorite Knoxville commercial brokers, owners, developers, all-around awesome guy. You're going to learn so much today about Knoxville, but you're going to learn so much you didn't even know you needed to know. Justin Kazana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Julia. Happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. So we are going to start the conversation off basically with how you are here. Like, what is it that you do in Knoxville exactly? I know what you do, but let's just pretend like nobody's ever heard of you or your company or your businesses. Let's start there. How'd you get here? What do you do?
Sure. So my company is Avis & Young Commercial Real Estate. We've been open in Knoxville for 13 years. We are a full-service commercial real estate company handling mainly brokerage, property management, project management, and a little development and things like that. So we can provide, you know, a litany of different business sides, depending on what a particular client needs. So personally, I am an office broker. That is, I probably do 85-90% of my work is focused on the office buildings in Knoxville. And that's finding tenants for buildings or finding buildings for tenants. So, but we have a staff and brokers of more than 25. We do some of the biggest deals in Knoxville, including three Amazon deals the other year and all kinds of projects like that. So we do a variety of different things from land, selling apartment buildings, selling and leasing office buildings, selling and leasing retail, warehouse, a little bit of everything. And we cover basically everything from Crossville to East, including Chattanooga and Tri-Cities. And we'll do everything in between.
So I always tell people in residential, we cover Crossville to Cook County. That's two time zones and two C's. So we got you covered.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we're about the same way. Exactly.
So before we even get started, let me tell you all a story, because I always love to tell our listeners a little bit of a story. One, I interview people in Knoxville that I may not know well, but most of the people I interview, I do know decently well. And in my phone for the longest time, I tell you, this was my very first commercial lease deal. I'd been in the business 2 years. So 8 years ago, I get this random company that calls me from the middle of nowhere, Texas, and they wanted to come here and do an oil company. They needed all this office space. They didn't need any of this office space, but they really wanted this office space. I had never done a commercial lease before. Obviously, I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to figure this out. So for 3 weeks in a row before they got here, I did nothing but read commercial leasing contracts. I looked over other people's commercial leasing contracts. I was like, this is really extensive information, but it's good to know, and I'm glad I know it. The other person on that deal was you. And I remember, I mean, just it took 3 or 4 weeks, which is very quick in commercial real estate people. Let me just remind you, very quick deal, right? So when you're on the same side with somebody like Justin and they know what you're doing, things get done. But for the longest time, I could never say your last name properly. So in my phone for 3 years, you were Justin Costanza. Like the guy from Seinfeld, until one day, no one ever corrects me, which is hilarious. I guess it's my energy level and just the fact that I'm so confident when I say things. I'm not even going to say the name because I know you know exactly. Let's just say we all run together. I'll say that. Anyway, I was like, hey, really, the Justin Costanza guy? He was like, Julia, you've been saying that wrong for 3 years. No one corrected me. You never corrected me. Anyway, totally corrected. Have it on lockdown.
I had the unfortunate life of going to college during the Seinfeld era. So that is not the first time that I've heard that. I've heard it many, many times.
I appreciate the leeway on that, but it made me laugh that nobody in Knoxville ever corrected me ever once until one of our mutual friends pulls me aside and is like, that is not his name. It's like, so you are one of the most, if not the outside of Roger Moore, the most knowledgeable commercial person in Knoxville. Guarantee it. I'd put my everything on it. You know more about what's happening in Knoxville and what's going to happen in Knoxville than anybody I've met. You've really got your finger on the pulse, and you own businesses and contribute. Tell us a little bit about your first experience, I guess you could say, from commercial when you started, in your experiences today, because I know that's a story.
Let's see. Well, I've been in this role from in Knoxville doing this for almost 20 years. So if you make me think back to my first deals, it's really hard to fathom. I will go back, you know, a little history. When it comes to nepotism, commercial real estate is at the top of the list. There's a, you know, I've got a dad that was in the business and a grandfather that was in the business, a dad that's still in the business. I mean, he's 55 years in commercial real estate. So, you know, you do grow up in it. You grow up with it at the dining room table and at Thanksgiving and on Saturday mornings. So, you know, I know that, you know, growing up, if we were driving from downtown back to home, we were going to stop at the gallery just on a Friday night to see how the gallery looks, because that was a property we owned, developed, and managed. That's just kind of the way we do things, and it carried over. So it's certainly been in my blood for a long time. I mean, I've been doing this, like I said, for nearly two decades now. So, you know, we have seen it, you know, from doing, growing up, doing the little small deals, the 1,200 square foot office deals, and then how you just develop that repertoire and you learn every deal, no matter how small it is, learn something new or how to handle clients. Just the little bitty thing that really magnifies itself to where you can do deals that, you know, that I've got, you know, I did a 42,000 square foot office lease earlier this year. And we've got, you know, a 250,000 square foot office building under contract, and, you know, all these different things that just kind of build on each other to get to a point where we are now. And certainly lucky for Knoxville, or lucky for me and lucky to be in Knoxville, because Knoxville, while, you know, I lived through, worked through the Great Recession, worked through COVID, obviously, and now the time we're in now is, you know, Knoxville has been a place of very steady work. We don't get the high highs like you get in Florida, but we don't get the low lows like you get in California. So we're very steady. We've always had that good base of University of Tennessee, which is great. The tourism that goes to the Smoky Mountains, Oak Ridge National Labs, which is a $40 billion annual federal program, and great things like TVA and Pilot and Clay and all Bush Beans and all those names, that have really, you know, solidified Knoxville over the years. So it's been fun to watch Knoxville grow. It's been fun to watch this industry grow and how different Knoxville is from the rest of the United States when it comes to commercial real estate.
What would you say has been your favorite project to date?
You know, the one that I take a lot of pride in was Standard Knitting Mill, 400,000 square foot mill that's right on, that was an eyesore right on, you know, 75 for decades. And we did that deal, sold it to a Charleston developer back in December of 2019. And now they're getting ready to start the whole renovation of it and turn it into a great mixed use project that hopefully will be up and running in about 2 years. That one was unlike anything I'd done before and just had an absolute ball doing it. You know, I love working on deals. We occasionally end up doing deals outside of the market and did a deal in, ironically, in Chicago. Biggest at the time, the biggest deal I'd ever done, where, you know, it was my relationship and my contact that I developed over the years in Knoxville, ended up selling a 20-acre piece of property in suburban Chicago and moving an office into nearly 60,000 square feet of office space in Chicago. And it was a great deal at the time, and it was a combination of relationships here and relationships in Knoxville and putting people together. And that's kind of the way I've always positioned myself when it comes to commercial real estate. I'm a connector. There's always someone who's going to be better at numbers or someone who's better at being the sales guy. But my role is to put people together and to make sure that, you know, when we're trying to get a deal done, that I'm able to grab something from over here and put it into the deal to kind of meld it all together and get us over the finish line. That's always been my goal.
What has been your favorite Knoxville transition? Not just something that you've been involved in maybe per se, but just in general. I will say that one of my favorite transitions was seeing downtown Knoxville go from, because I lived there for years, right? I lived there during two massive attempts. And I say two whole families attempting to move downtown Knoxville forward and failing miserably. Not because they failed, because Knoxville itself just wasn't ready for that success. And now we see the success. It took two whole generations of people moving that forward. And I remember living in downtown Knoxville and thinking, I don't know if anybody's ever going to see what we see. I hope they do. I don't know if anybody's going to see what we see. And still being there. And I remember when John Clark came in, and it was almost like a massive battle royale to get underground utilities into that downtown area. He had to fight tooth and nail to put underground utilities in, which you would think now looking back at that should have just been so common sense. And I remember thinking when he got it done, when I started to see the project happen and the power poles came down, and you could really appreciate the architecture that downtown and Old City had to offer, I thought to myself, this is it. It's happening. It's really happening. People want to see Knoxville. And ever since my personal experience, that moment, It has transformed Knoxville forward. What project do you feel like made that transformation happen?
You know, it's not one project. It's been 25 years of you know, trying to build that up. I mean, it's, you know, 25 years ago, you know, everyone jokes, they rolled up the sidewalks at 5 o'clock. It was a little more than 20 years ago, they put Mass General Store down on it, and the fear. And my first thought at that time, that was before I got back to Knoxville, General Store, what is that going to do? And you look, go in there now, you go in there on a Saturday, and there are going to be 70 people in there at any time shopping. And it's a huge draw. Love it. And the theater has helped grow the Tennessee Theater and the Bijou Theater and everything else that's gone along with it. It's funny, you talk about the city catching up, and the city will tell you, some members of the city, you compare it to our arch enemy, Greenville, South Carolina, when it comes to what a downtown has done. In downtown Greenville, they led with the infrastructure. The city said, we're going to do this, and then let the developers catch up. In Knoxville, it was the exact opposite. It was the developers, you know, like a John Clark and David Dewhurst, Don Bosch, who was an investor, and everybody who kind of ran down the line of we're going to build this building, or we're going to redevelop this building. We're going to redevelop this. And, you know, city, how can you help us? How can you help us? And it just took a longer time. Thankfully, I think we're getting there. There's still some gaps in our downtown that I would love to see us that unfortunately are not. The city can't do it. It's got to be a private developer, or at least in conjunction with it. Yeah, I think it's a lot of little things. And just like the standard knitting mill will be a little thing. But the only reason that happened was because the baseball stadium was going to happen. And I'm glad the baseball stadium's finally happening. I mean, I joke that I was in Rome 2 years ago. We did a tour of the Coliseum because you have to. And it's stunning. And our tour guide says, it took 8 years to build the Coliseum. And I was like, eight? They did this in 8 years? It's taking longer for us to build a baseball stadium. And they didn't have cranes. And they didn't have engineers like we have today. Of course, they also didn't have unions and OSHA, which probably plays a part in why they could build it so fast. So, you know, it's kind of comical. I think the baseball stadium is going to be the catalyst for that side of downtown. And there's one missing piece in downtown Knoxville that make Knoxville explode, but it's not something the government can do. It's a private developer that's going to have to do it. Until we see that, I just don't know what it's going to be. It's the one vacant plot in downtown, and you'll see it when you go down there. And it's like, come on, guys, do something with this. And it's not. And it's an eyesore. Terrible.
We all know that real estate is location, location, location.
Our team at Just Homes Group Realty Executives has the true expertise, pairing buyers and sellers with the right opportunities.
Whether you're looking to buy or sell a home right here in Knoxville,
Lenoir City, Clinton, or Farragut, we have the expertise throughout every Knoxville surrounding area. Call Just Homes Group Realty Executives today.
The book Tipping Point comes to mind for me, and I remember reading that book. I read it several different times. Like, these brands did this, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked. And then all of a sudden, one thing happened, and that tipped it. And I feel like, for me, that was the underground utilities. That's just me. I prefer underground utilities, no billboards. I really like the way Asheville looks. It's very clean. I like a clean-looking downtown. I can see where I'm going. I have a visual. Nothing's in my way. And I feel like when that happened, that everything else that has happened after brought in different people. And you mentioned David Dewhurst. Let me tell you, I've never met a visionary like David Dewhurst in my life. I mean, I would pit Randy Boyd against that even for maybe even try to top that. I mean, David Dewhurst saw Knoxville when it was in my lifetime, it's absolutely worst, and still came here and thought, my God, what a gem. I can't wait for this to be amazing, and poured his whole life into it. What a visionary, really and truly what a visionary. And your family is part of that vision. Tell us about your family's developments and things.
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes back three generations. My grandfather, who came here in the 20s and, you know, started doing some of the smaller things when it came, I mean, what was commercial real estate 100 years ago? It's very, very different. And then started, you know, really in full force. My grandfather was very much an entrepreneur. My dad's an entrepreneur and does it on the commercial real estate side. He's been doing it for 55 years. He's developed, gosh, nearly every office building on Weisgarber, nearly every office building on Lonis Road, probably totaling a little more than a million two square feet of total space up and down the, you know, West Knoxville, whether it's office buildings at Century Park, kind of the Pellissippi Parkway, the Gallery Shopping Center right there on Kingston Pike. We dabbled in hotels for a decade, redoing what's now the Tennessee Inn and the Marriott downtown, heart of downtown, which was, you know, the culmination of his career as far as the, you know, everything tying together to develop, you know, to come to the forefront in that particular space, which has been great. I have a brother that works in the business in Nashville. And then I've got, you know, we're running it here, and my dad's 82 years old and still works every day and loves it. So it's we love being part of Knoxville. We love growing Knoxville and looking at the points in Knoxville that are, you know, that are important to, you know, seeing the growth of the town and where it's going to grow.
One of the biggest things that we talk about, you know, my television show is focused on Knoxville. The podcast is focused on Knoxville, and it's not just Knoxville based. We have 17,000 listeners a month on the podcast, about 3 million views a month on the TV show. And I like to pride on locality, right? It's really and truly, I don't think people understand the level of effort that it takes from generations of people understanding and knowing how to maneuver around these conversations and generational conceptualism. When the Tennessean came into Knoxville, I will say, That concept itself is everywhere. The concept of what you all did here in Knoxville is something that you go to a larger city like Chicago or Miami, and it's like, wow, I've got a 5-star hotel with 5-star experiences, got some condos up here we can take advantage of. We have really like special ballroom like your space is so special, and it's not special in other places. It's completely It's the norm. It's the absolute norm. You have set the standard. When the Tennessean, when you all finish that, you set the standard for what the new conversation to be a resident / visitor in the Knoxville market would be. You're overlooking one of the most rare sites that we've seen, a World's Fair site, which not a lot of places have. You know, Seattle's got one, but very rare opportunities there. You have the opportunity to own and live in a luxury location, and also stay in a luxury location. It's a 5-star experience. And now we're starting to see more of those pop up in Knoxville, but they're all over the country. Your family set that standard. What brought that to mind as of, hey, listen, we want to bring something absolutely new, test the boundaries of what Knoxville can handle, right? Because at that point it was, and I don't remember the name of the hotel, it's next to the Oliver Royale. That was pretty much the only boutique.
The Oliver. It was the Oliver.
The Oliver, thank you. And that was it as far as boutique and different experience goes. And your family was like, you know what? We're going to do this. And you did. And now you've set the new standard for luxury boutique. Like, tell us about that idea, that conceptualization, and the process of that, because it could not have been easy, but you did it anyway.
Yeah, you know, and it was literally decades in the making. My dad gets all the credit for that, but he wanted, you know, and this kind of goes back to Knoxville being important to him and the growth of the market. Because, you know, originally it started with the Holiday Inn, and the Holiday Inn was an absolute eyesore. It was built in 1982 for the World's Fair. The gentleman who owned it didn't put a dime into it. And it was, you know, I remember after we acquired the property, we met with a marketing team to help improve it. And the question was, what do people think about the Holiday Inn? I said, well, they don't think about the Holiday Inn. It's a building on the wrong side of Henley Street that no one wants to go to. And so it was developing from there and renovating the entire Holiday Inn from top to bottom, while continuing to try and operate as a hotel. You know, we did it 2 floors at a time to give it as great a feel as it possibly could, knowing that it's still a Holiday Inn, which has a connotation. It just does. And the building next door, where the Tennessean is, was the administrative office building for the World's Fair, built in 1982. It had been a state office building for the better part of 30 years. Nothing there. No one really knew what it was. No one ever went into it because there was no reason to. But, you know, the idea was you have the Holiday Inn. You've got a lot of infrastructure that's there that could be shared from a laundry, bar, restaurant, kitchen facilities, banquet hall facilities. Let's get this office building, which we had to acquire from the state, and renovate that and turn it into a hotel, which no one had ever done in Knoxville. And it was a multi-year process, not only to acquire it, but then we're going to turn this into something special with valets, with the service that, you know, when Julia Hurley reserves a room and then she shows up and she gets out of her car, that the valet says, "Hi, Ms. Hurley, welcome back," or "Welcome to the Tennessean," and knowing what kind of pillow you like and everything that goes into it. And it was hard because, you know, we are traditionally office people. which means we build a building, we build the core, the lobby, the hallways, the bathrooms, and then you can do whatever you want with your office space, and we'll help you with it. You build a hotel, you're building every single room, picking the carpet, picking the bedspread, picking the silverware, picking the towels and the soap, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's never ending. It's shocking how much it is. It was a lot of fun. Glad it's over. We're out of the hotel industry. We got out the right time. It's a great industry. It's a hard industry. And it's, you know, I joke with office buildings, every month you get your financials. You know, we see our P&L. We see, you know, where the rent was and where operating expenses are. We review that every month. You do that in hotel every day at 4 a.m. That's when you get your reports every single day, because it's like a Waffle House. They open it up and then they throw away the keys to the front door because it never closes. I mean, it's different, but it's great. And it's something that was important to Knoxville, because you're right. At the time, Knoxville did not have anything that would be considered, you know, elite status for a hotel. We actually sat down with a lot of CFOs of Knoxville's bigger companies and talked about price points. You know, at what point when your salesman, when your staff goes on the road and, you know, you get their cost, what they spent, their expenses for that trip, at what point do you look at the hotel and go, ooh, that's a lot of money? And they said $200. And at the time, $200 was like, oh, yeah, that's a big number. And now $200 is the Super 8 next to the Nashville airport. So, you know, things have really gone up. Things have really changed. You cannot get a hotel room at the Tennessee Inn for $200. But that's kind of where we started. Knoxville needed more than that. And that's what we were able to do.
That was one of the best projects. I can't express to people enough. I mean, I relocate people all day long. That's my passion. I do tours. We do relocation tours. A lot of physicians will call me specifically for a relocation tour. And I'll put them in the car. I'll take them for 2 hours. A lot of the time, they may choose a different hospital. They may choose not to come here. And that's just a risk that I take on that tour. But I always make the relationship. Put them in the car. 2 hours, you get the entire tour. I'm going to take you all the way from Hardin Valley. We're going to talk about the school districts. We're going to go down to Maryville. We're going to talk about the colleges. We're going to talk about all the opportunities. We're going to go through Knoxville, all the neighborhoods in Knoxville and the history of it. Where do you want to be? And all of these conversations. It's a full-on experience per serious relocation, because knowing that history is so relevant and knowing it from somebody who's from here. So knowing that I can introduce them to people like you. Again, you said you're a connector. I love connections, why I called it Connect the Knox. It is so relevant to me to know that I have people I can rely on who say, I really need to know this person. I've always got that person. And knowing the history of things and the dedication that it takes, you didn't just come in here and pop up a shop. You've been here for 100 years. It's a lot of local. It takes local to get it done. It takes local to get it done. So we talked about one building for 25 minutes. I could talk to you for days about commercial real estate. Now, we know you can't give away the farm. Can you give us any hints on what you're working on that we would know about or could possibly know about that's coming up?
You know, a couple of things. One, you know, we're building the only office building that's happening in Knoxville right now. It's a 60,000 square foot office building out at Pellissippi Parkway at a development called Century Park, 80 acre development that's got about 250,000 square feet of office space on it. The only office building in the market that's being built right now. And that kind of ties into, okay, where is, you know, I thought office was dead. And that's the farthest thing from the truth, especially in Knoxville. While it is struggling in certain areas of the country, Knoxville has not been the case. According to CoStar, we're at 95% occupancy, which is, it's too high. It's not 95. It's probably 91 or 92%. But that is record high for the market. We did more office deals in the last 2 years than we did in the 4 years combined before that. You know, part of it is because Knoxville has become a place people relocate to. Part of it is because a lot of office users are moving out of what I call Class C and B space and upgrading their space because they want people to be in the office. Of all the properties that we manage, the only tenants that aren't back in the office at least 80% of the time are your Fortune 500 companies that can work remote. They can send their workers home, they can manage them remotely and think it works for them. But the example I use is if you have an insurance firm and it has 50 employees and you spend $100,000 a year on rent, you've got 3 years left on your lease. Do you have the bandwidth to go out and and the financial bandwidth to hire someone to manage people remotely, to bring in the equipment to manage people remotely and let people work remotely, and know that you're eating $100,000 a year in rent? And the answer is no. The answer is they're coming back to the office. You know, it's been really across the board in Knoxville. People are in the office nearly every day of the week. Fridays are a little questionable, but I think that, you know, that's what we're seeing around the country. So we've seen people expanding. We've seen people obviously upgrading their space. It'll continue to twist over the next couple of years as some leases come up. But, you know, I'll give you an example, a building we manage that we lease in Bearden Landmark Center, the two towers right there on the interstate. We have 9 letters of intent for vacant space in that building. So people that say office is teetering, it's not happening in Knoxville. And I think it happens for a variety of reasons. And I think one is people are social. It doesn't matter how big of an introvert you are, which obviously Julia and I are not introverts, but we, you do have to have some social input. And while you can work from home and be successful doing it, absolutely, it's much more tactical. It's not strategic thinking. If you just have to check boxes, you can do that. But if you've got to be, you know, if you need to work with a team, if you want to innovate, innovation doesn't happen over Zoom. Innovation happens at the coffee pot. Innovation happens when you overhear a colleague talking about a project and you can add something to it. And that's what we're seeing on the office side. And I think that's what we're going to see. That's why I'm bullish on office, especially in Knoxville.
So question for people. So I know a few of my friends that you probably know them. We'll talk about that later. They have their own investment deals inside of their own companies where they allow like a REIT, but it's not a REIT. Do you all offer something like that for people in Knoxville to try to get involved in commercial?
We work with developers or investors that often need partners. I won't call it a REIT because we structure it in different ways, but it's more of a partnership than anything else. We can put people together. We have, any number of projects where we have people that want to invest in office, industrial, retail, anywhere in between. We try and connect those individuals. Now, when you have a REIT, it's much more, I don't want to call it sophisticated, I'll call it specific and complicated. But it also gives very, very good guidelines, but sometimes the returns aren't what's there. So we try and put together like-minded individuals. Some people don't want the risk, which REITs are great for, and we can put them in positions where, you know, someone else is really taking the risk, and the only thing that they're risking is the cash that they're putting into it. They're not necessarily on the note. The bank's not going to come after their house if something goes south. So, yeah, we will put people together depending on the situation and depending on the need.
I think that a lot of people, especially in this market today, are looking for different ways to earn an income, and especially in industries they don't understand. And I think that we're starting to see 7 levels and people are really excited about it. I get asked about it constantly, so I'm always throwing it out there. Hey, if you want to invest in commercial real estate, here's who you call. I don't know any specifics after that, but I'll send them your way. Because I do get asked that a lot. Like, where can I invest this money? I'm out of rental properties. I'm like, commercial real estate. It's not going anywhere in Knoxville, but up. So get it while you can get it. All right. If somebody were to visit you, we're going personal now. If somebody were to visit you that's never been to Knoxville before, where's the first place you take them?
I don't know. What time of year is it?
So many people have different answers to this. So let me give you some examples. Glenn Jacobs said, take him to Alibaba. I believe Tim Burchett said he would have taken the Wright's cafeteria.
All right. So here's what I would do. And partially, this is me being selfish. First, we'd go to the mountains, the towns inside of the mountains, show them how beautiful that place is. We'd come back into town. We'd stop at Aroma Cafe in Maryville and pick up some Cuban food. And then we'd eat there. And then we'd go down to the river. Maybe we'll do some paddleboarding right there at Volunteer Landing and then finish off on Gay Street with Cruz ice cream and maybe a show at the Tennessee Theater or Market Square, depending on the day.
Is there anything that you want to share with anybody listening that's never been to Knoxville, that tunes into this podcast? I share it out with a lot of our relocation companies that we do a lot with. What information can you share with them that maybe we take for granted or people assume they know about Knoxville they really don't know?
I think if you came to Knoxville, people would say, oh my gosh, the traffic is terrible. But if you're from Los Angeles, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Dallas, the traffic is nothing. That being said, you know, there's a limit to how much our roads can handle. I mean, I know TDOT and the city are working on that fixing infrastructure when it comes to interstates is not a quick fix. So it's going to be, it'll be interesting, but it's, you know, Knoxville, it continues to be America's largest small town, which I really like. And certainly the friendliest place you'll find in America. So it's a special place.
Justin, how can people find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, avisandyoung.com/Knoxville, you know, any number of places. I'm pretty easy to find. If you Google Justin Kazan on Knoxville, there's only one Justin Kazan in the world. It's not like, you know, Jill Smith. There's only one. I'm pretty easy to find with the Google machine.
I love it. Listen, I've taken 30 minutes and I'd love to talk to you for hours about commercial real estate. I'll come by your entire office lunch one day. We'll do a whole lunch and learn so you can teach our brokerage about your brokerage. And I know that my new agents would love to learn all about the commercial real estate. So we'll set that up. Thank you so much for being with us today. Everybody in the nation, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Connect the Knox. I'm Julia Hurley, connecting Knoxville to the nation. Until next time, thanks for visiting.
Thank you for tuning into the show. Make sure to like and subscribe. Leave a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And if you would like information on moving to Knoxville, send me a private message. As always, this is Julia Hurley, connecting Knoxville to the nation.